BlogTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Tonight was, will he or won't he? That was the question that was to be answered tonight. It was told to us that he would. But did he? This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, which is youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin. That's Lindsay Ward.
I think it was almost, once we kind of got to a point in the show, less about will Brock Lesnar not cash in. It's, when is Becky Lynch going to murder Brock Lesnar based on what happened? Because I'm pretty sure that's what's in Brock's future, is Seth is not going to have to worry about that one. Becky's just going to take that on herself.
So, to sum it up, Seth Rollins was on Miz TV, and he was talking about Brock. Brock said, via Paul Heyman on social media, said, after what Stephanie said, that he was disrespecting the briefcase. I don't understand that anyhow, but...
Okay, wait, before we go on, I want to touch on that real quickly, because we didn't get to talk about that.
Because that occurred over the weekend.
That occurred over the weekend. How was he any more disrespectful to that briefcase than anyone else that's ever held it? I mean, my God. Dean Ambrose basically implied that he'd put a vibrator in there and then he rigged it up with slime that sprayed in Seth's face. That briefcase has ended up in rivers. I think that contract's been set on fire at least once. Like, shit. What did Brock do? Brock, what? He smacked Heyman with it? Come on. That's not disrespectful. Or is the fact that he didn't know he had a year? I mean, I'm sorry. She put that out there and I'm like, really? Really? It took Brock Lesnar to do what he did with the contract for you to call that disrespectful when
put speakers on the briefcase?
Put speakers on the briefcase when people have literally chucked it into rivers, smacked people over the head with it. Like, that thing, I think, for what, three, four years, something like that, until they finally were forced to change the briefcases, had a permanent dent in it from somebody's head.
Yep.
So... Tell me that what he did is, like, any less or any more disrespectful than what previous winners / contestants have done with it. I mean, honestly, come on.
He didn't do anything.
I hate to defend him, but I have to.
Because because the Brock party, she digs the Brock party. She won't really admit it, but she likes the Brock party.
You know what? I hate him for it. Like, I hate that Brock Lesnar has made me like him to an extent. Like, I really, really, really hate that. But this is the most entertaining Brock has been in years. Years. So, yeah.
So he showed up and decided, well, I'm gonna, you know, go to my locker room. So he waits around till later at night. Seth Rollins comes out about 10 o'clock. And he's waiting for Brock. Brock doesn't come out. Baron Corbin comes out. Baron Corbin and Rollins fight. Baron Corbin ends up laying out Seth Rollins.
And cutting him open
on his shoulder. There's fake teases of Brock's music. Then Brock Lesnar came out. And Heyman's out there, just cash in. And Brock's just, nah, I'm going to beat the crap out of him. He just beats the crap out of him, suplexes, you name it. Then grabs a chair and just beats the ever-living crap out of him with a steel chair. And Heyman's screaming, cash in. And Brock's like, no, Friday. Which is Super Showdown.
So they're going to fly Brock all the way to Saudi Arabia just so he can potentially cash in on Seth Rollins.
Yep. That's the deal. So Rollins got stretchered off. Who knows if he'll even make it to Saudi Arabia?
Oh, he'll be there.
But as he was being wheeled into a stretcher, who was by his side? One Becky Lynch.
Okay, I'm just going to say this now. Those two can never, ever, 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 ever break up now because of what's going on right now. Not to say that it's a bad thing. Like, it's really good for both of them that they're actually publicly acknowledging the relationship and they're using it gently on TV to connect the two together. They're on the same show. Like, that's great. That's wonderful that they're doing that. But this relationship, if they do break up, it has to be amicable. Like, basically, nobody can cheat on anybody. Seth, we're all looking at you. And, you know, no, but there can be no shenanigans with this. It has to be. It has to be amicable. Like, it really does. Because now it's public, right? Like, now it's out there for everybody to see. They're the darlings of the wrestling world because Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are dating. Everybody's already picturing wedding bells and everything else because, again, it's Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. They're so cute. They're so in love, right? So they have to be careful how they do this. But at the same time, they have to make sure they don't, like, overdo it with this. And
no, but,
yeah.
But subtle things like this. Like what they did with Brian and Brie, originally. Brie just would just be by his side when if he got hurt or something.
Yeah.
Simple thing. Don't intertwine their stories. But if there's if there's a real moment, then you can connect them.
And by the way, Becky legit looked like she was going to murder Brock. Like, she was trying to figure out how she could possibly do it and get away with it and still, you know, everything be okay. Because, I mean, she's got the weekend off, so, like, she could.
She could.
Realistically.
Yeah, and I want to address the man's in the chat really quick. This is all a tease. I would be highly surprised if Brock actually cashes in Saudi Arabia. To me, that's not smart booking, but, you know, also saying on commercials locally that Extreme Rules, it's Rollins and Corbin for the title and tables match, sort of also takes away from this sort of things. But
what it's doing is it's making Brock an actual threat.
Right.
Like, because he's not serious about it. Like, that's the whole thing, is Brock is dicking around with everybody right now because he can. Like, that's what's really interesting about this whole deal with the Money in the Bank, is Brock is just screwing around. Because we all know when Brock gets serious, and he's going to beat somebody up like he did tonight, and he's going to cash in, and more than likely he is going to take the title. I would hope not, because I don't want to see it disappear for another 10 years like it did before. But right now, what makes it even more unnerving with Brock having the briefcase is he's not serious. He's having fun with it. He's screwing around. But you know Brock can go from joking around to serious in the blink of an eye. And that's where the threat lies, is he can be screwing around like tonight. He could be screwing around with Seth Rollins, right? He could just be beating him up, or he could just be joking with him, or he could be waving the briefcase in the face, and the next thing you know, Brock just takes the briefcase up the side of Seth's head, beats him up, gets the ref out there, you know, hits like a German and an F5 or whatever you want to do the combo, 1-2-3, Brock Lesnar's your champion. We haven't had a threat with the briefcase like this in a really, really, really long time. Like, generally, the Money in the Bank winners, they aren't necessarily taken seriously. They're jobbed out a lot. And they just sort of, like, walk around and hold the briefcase at arm's length. Like, ooh, look at me. I got the briefcase. You're in trouble. And Brock's doing that to a certain extent. But Brock's also like, I don't give a crap. I can cash in whenever I want. I got a year. I don't give a crap. I'm going to do whatever I want because I can.
Right. So here's the deal. Like, man, it says like Kofi or SummerSlam or something. The or something should be smart logical booking October 4th, SmackDown Live on Fox. That would be your, that should be, if they're looking long term, that's your cash in. Like, you can tease it all summer into the fall, but that's your money. That's your big sports moment, right?
Yeah, Brock Lesnar cashes in on whoever the WWE champion is on SmackDown at the time, whether it's Kofi Kingston or somebody else, and takes the title off of them and becomes the champion and is the champion on Fox, which I believe is what Fox would want.
He's your big star on Fox. I mean, Brent goes, he would cash in on Walter Labor Day weekend.
Good.
But here's the thing. Putting the belt on Brock and then taking the belt away 3 times a year. He's just been on the show 3 weeks in a row. You give him money. You give the story. He'll be there every week.
Here's the thing with Brock. Is Brock got a taste for UFC again. So he left and he went back to UFC and he decided he didn't like it. He decided he was too old for this crap. So he came back to WWE, and I think because he's refocused and because they're probably paying him a crap ton of money, and this is going to be one of his last runs.
This might be his last year in wrestling.
Yeah, I feel like he's refocused and he's a little bit more serious about it behind the scenes. And also, they understand that their ratings are suffering. And so they are not afraid, I think, at this point to shell out the money to get Brock to show up, to get Taker to show up, Goldberg. The list goes on and on and on to get your stars on there, to get people up to watch and get your ratings up, because that's what USA wants. That's what Fox wants. And right now, Fox and essentially NBC are both extremely nervous. They're shelling out a lot of money for WWE, and their ratings are continuing to slip. That's a problem that they need to fix now.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's the whole Brock thing. He didn't cash in. He may be cashing in on Friday. Shane McMahon, the best in the world, interrupted Roman Reigns to start off the Monday Night Raw. Says he's going to beat him in Saudi Arabia. He's going to go coast to coast. Or maybe he'll make him tap out. Roman wants to see him try. McIntyre was by Shane's side. They go to attack Roman. The Revival attack Roman from behind. It's a 4-on-1 beatdown till the Usos make the save, leading to a 6-man tag. McIntyre and the Revival versus Reigns and the Usos. Good match, like you thought it would be. McIntyre and the Revival get the win. After the match was over, they weren't done with Roman, because McIntyre laid him out with the kick on the outside. They brought him into the ring, and they allowed Shane McMahon, after another Claymore kick, to spear Roman Reigns and leave him laying. And he mocked the Roman war cry and everything. The ooh-ah.
Which is rude.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's good build.
It's a nice little stamp on the feud.
And they also set the stage for the WrestleMania rematch at Stomping Ground in two weeks. So they built to the match on Friday, and they built to the next pay-per-view. They are thinking ahead. So the Iconics messed with Nikki Cross backstage. Alexa stood up for her, stood by her side. She said she'd be in her corner, because Nikki likes Alexa, because Alexa treats her like she's somebody, and they're friends, and all that stuff. And they got coffee together, which led to later in the show, it was Peyton Royce versus Nikki Cross, and you know, Alexa has her coffee, and it got spilled on her white pants.
And she was not happy.
She was not happy. Nikki beat Payne, and afterwards, Alexa got on the ring, dropkicked Billie Kay, and dropped her with a DDT.
And Nikki was very excited.
Yeah, they're friends. I like them being. I like the pairing of them. I really like their pairing.
It's a very much an odd couple, but Nikki brings out a different side of Alexa that we don't really get to see a lot, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned Becky Lynch. She came out. She said she's got to be home for the first time in 63 days. She said all her dreams came true, and she's never been more content in her life. And contentment is the worst thing that can happen to a fighter like her. And then whatever Charlotte and Lacey said woke something inside her. Lacey Evans come out. So that Lynch is a dog chasing a care in that she wouldn't know what to do if she caught it. Lynch said that, Evan said, well, you beat me, but I was the one that made sure you lost your SmackDown Women's Championship, and I'll be the next Raw Women's Champion. Charlotte came out. She boasted about being the 9-time champion, how she's going to surpass her father, and Lacey called her a peacock and her daddy, a daddy's girl, and then all that fun stuff. It led to Lacey hitting the woman's right on Charlotte, knocking her to her knees, leading to a match between Charlotte and Lacey that ended with no real finish and Becky standing tall.
I liked how Becky was like looking at Charlotte when she came out, like, hi, wifey, what's up? But, and then also the moment between Charlotte and Lacey, where Lacey shoves Charlotte into the ropes. The only thing I could think of in that moment, has anybody seen Spaceballs? Does anybody know the scene where you've got Vespa? She's on the landing platform at the prison. They're chasing them. And they hand her a gun. And she's like, I don't know how to shoot this thing. What the heck? And then they shoot her and they shoot her hair. And then she goes all Rambo on their asses. Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of in that moment. I don't know why. But it was just the look on Charlotte's face, I feel like, kind of sold it.
It did. It did. The Ricochet-Cesaro feud continues this week. Ricochet got the win. Afterwards, Cesaro was not happy. He laid out Ricochet. Then he was going to get a table. And R-Truth was laid out on the table. Then you had all the 24/7 people come out. And then, but R-Truth, Cedric went for a dive. Dave won everyone. R-Truth got back in the ring. And he got face-to-face Drake Maverick. And then Carmella super kicks Drake.
Can we just really quickly talk about the commitment that Drake Maverick has to this? Like, he put out a video on his Twitter of him sleeping in a park, and he's walking around looking for R-Truth, and he's trying to hitch a ride to Austin. And this, the baby is walking around, and I don't mean to call him a baby, but I don't know what else to call him, in the jacket, the green leather jacket that he has, and the long black pants. He's got a black Drake 24/7 shirt on, and I mean, it's just like the commitment. The commitment. I love it so much. I just love that, like, R-Truth is trying to get away from everybody. Everybody's chasing him. And then there's Drake Maverick, who's just, like, half clueless, half not clueless most of the time.
So Triple H says he was out here to talk about Randy Orton, who then interrupted him. It's been a while since they've been face-to-face in the center of a ring together. He said they both know what these are. He's about drumming up interest for a fight. He said they hope is that they say horrible things about one another. Maybe some physicality breaks out. Hunter said there's nothing either one of them could say that hasn't been said before. He said he doesn't want to waste time. Didn't want to waste Orton's time or the fans' time. He said, don't let this suit fool you. I am coming to Jihad to kick your ass. Orton says that sounds good to him, but he needs to understand that he's not Batista. I'm the legend killer. And Hunter knows that more than anyone else. He said he'd be gladly to beat Hunter and put a notch on his belt. Hunter was like, all right, fair enough. But the one thing that stood out from watching the recaps, he recalled saying that he put pressure on Orton and he would become a diamond in this business. Hunter said he wasn't blowing smoke when he told Orton he's one of the best ever in the business. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people try to put me down. They're all gone and he's still here. And trust me, Randy, when I tell you, you are not the one. Hunter was leaving. Orton said, can you promise me one thing? Can you promise me that Friday, before you step foot in this ring with me, that you retrieve your balls from Stephanie's purse? Hunter said, that's a hell of an idea. They're just so big and such a burden carrying them around. He said, Orton would know what, because he hasn't had any.
And this is where Randy lost his shit for 5 minutes.
He said, he'll see Orton in Jihad, and then threw the mic at him. And Randy, supposed to be straight face, couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, he was just standing there in the middle ring laughing, and Hunter's like, God damn it, Randy. Really? We can't do anything. Really? This is why we can't have nice things, y'all. Randy Orton.
So, we had an arm wrestling match between Lashley and Strowman. Strowman won. Then Lashley threw chalk in Strowman's face and planted him and laid him out with a power slam. Build!
Simple, effective, to the point. Moving on.
To the Firefly Funhouse.
Oh, God.
This was the best Firefly Funhouse of all time.
Okay. So for those of you that don't understand the reference, Huskus
the pig, the pig boy.
Pig, is that what he was called?
Huskus the pig boy.
Huskus the pig boy, thank you. I don't know why I said fat pig. Anyway, Huskus the fat pig is a reference to Husky Harris, who may or may not be Bray Wyatt. Definitely not Bray Wyatt, but played by the same person, essentially. He debuted 9 years ago yesterday. So, and when I say debuted, he debuted in NXT when NXT was still like a segment on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown 9 years ago. So that was the subtle reference to Husky being around before he very mysteriously disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to him.
Nobody knows whatever happened to Husky Harris.
Well, you know, he took that kick from Randy Orton and he just never was ever the same ever again. Somehow he ended up in a swamp. We're not sure how. Moving on. So yeah, so that was the reference, but this was horrifying to watch for me on a lot of levels.
But from the comedy standpoint, it's so great.
From the comedy standpoint, from an entertainment standpoint, this was fantastic. I don't want to say I loved it because I really was just like dying inside the whole time. She's
dying for the Wyatt character, but for creativity, this was great.
This was fantastic because somebody, I don't know who, I don't know if it was Bray himself, I don't know if it was the writers, I don't know if it was Hunter, somebody had the balls to go to Vince McMahon and convince Vince McMahon that not only is it cool for them to make a puppet of him, but to put devil horns on it, surround it with fire, and put it on Monday Night Raw. Like, somebody convinced Vince that that was cool to do. And whoever that is, you have my utter congratulations, because you, sir or madam, have balls of steel.
So the set,
like, holy crap.
So the setup is that everyone knew that this Huskus would be great. He'd be a genius, and that one day he would have the whole world in his hands. Wink.
Hit, wink, wink.
The Vince McMahon devil pump puppet shows up and was basically on the verge of firing Huskus before Bray cut him off. Called and promised that Huskus would get it together. And he's wearing a Wyatt gym shirt, by the way, which looked awesome, by the way.
Zubaz pants, a Wyatt gym shirt, a bright pink fanny pack, and a sweatband headband.
Yeah. And then they start doing the Muscle Man dance. Straight out of an 80s and 80s workout video.
This is where I died, just so everybody's aware.
This was great. This was fantastic. I couldn't stop laughing. It was awesome.
This was interdispersed with like pictures of the Fiend and skeletons and all kinds of creepy stuff. So it wasn't just Bray Wyatt doing a silly dance. It was like there were creepy elements involved in this. The fact that he referenced Husky is astounding to me, because it's like, from what I always heard, he hated that character. He hated everything about it, and I think he was like more than happy to get away from it. So the fact that they did reference it, they did go there with it, and they tied the two together is hilarious. And basically, flat out, it is now in canon, that Bray Wyatt and Husky Harris are connected. They're not the same person,
but
they're connected.
They both have potential. Huskus and Bray both had potential. That's where we're at. You gotta wait for it to be on YouTube. It was, oh my god.
The Devil Vince puppet. Oh my god, the Devil Vince puppet. I just, when that showed up, it was like, how did they get that on TV? Did they tell him? Like, did he know?
He had to know.
Holy crap. Like, how did you convince him that that was cool? I mean, it is. Don't get me wrong. It's very cool, but the fact that like Vince let that hit TV is amazing.
Because okay, here's the thing. It didn't portray him in a bad light. That's why I got on TV.
He was Satan.
He's called himself Satan at some point. Remember
him? Several times over.
So it's like, if it was there to mock him, that's one thing. It wasn't.
Well, I mean,
yes, but it did. Okay, it didn't portray him.
It kind of did.
It did, but it didn't portray him negatively. It's nothing he hasn't heard before. You know what I mean? They weren't mocking him and making a complete joke out of who he is.
No, they were more like basically reflecting the evil boss Vince that we all know and hate in devil effigy form with flames. Like, legit, there were flames and everything. I mean, it was just, but when that hit, it was just like, holy crap. Okay, we're going to go there with it, but yeah, this hurt my soul. And also that, like, there was a zoomed in gratuitous ass shot in this video of Bray Wyatt. Let everybody sink that in for you, you know, is there was an ass shot, a gratuitous ass shot of Bray Wyatt going on in this, which is going to be all over the internet forever now, because everybody's going to be like, it's just going to be his ass shaking in the Zubaz pants. On that crazy ass background.
Well, yeah. Then there's the Undertaker. The gong hits at 10:52. Gets in the ring after posing for pictures.
He poses now.
Poses on the stage and let people take pictures.
Got he stopped ring. About halfway down the ramp and he let people take pictures. I mean, it's like, what?
Got in the ring at about 10:56. Undertaker. Ch-ch-ch-ch. Undertaker. Ch-ch-ch-ch. All right, we're about 10:57 and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then he starts talking. He wonders, asks people what if we've ever wondered what happens when we go face to face with death for the first time. He's like, nope, never. Never. Never thought about it. Never want to think about it. Thanks, Undertaker.
Never want to think about it. Never. But I'm pretty sure it's my mother glowering at me.
Taker said Goldberg would find out on Friday. He said he doesn't want Goldberg, the family man with his wife and son, looking up, beaming with joy. I want the unstoppable, mythical icon Goldberg. And he promises if Goldberg brings anything less to their first matchup, it will be Goldberg's last. He will
Taker?
What?
Honey, you have no room to talk. You post pictures of your daughter kicking your ass in Uno. Just saying.
He will anyway, he will open up the gates of hell. And he claims Goldberg's and claim Goldberg's soul for eternity. It is now 11 o'clock. 3, 2, Goldberg, you're next.
Hard cut. I mean, no fade to black. They're rolling the ending credits as he's doing this. Apparently, nobody told Taker that there was no overrun on this show. Like, nobody told him, or they told him, and he lost track of time. But all I can picture in my mind is the production people behind the cameras jumping up and down, waving their arms, telling him to hurry up because they're getting ready to cut the show off.
Yeah, I need to
see. And he's got to hit the line.
I need to see the PA at ringside just waving his arms. Go, go home, go home, go home.
And I mean, it's like, bless Taker. He went out there. He did all his Takery things. It was great to see him. He looked in fantastic shape. Like, we talked about it in the pre-show about his hair. His hair looks okay, but we'll see what happens when the hat comes off. And yeah, he took his time, but it legit took him 5 minutes to get to the ring. 5 minutes. And I understand they probably looked at him when he went out and they're like, okay, you have 8 minutes to kill. Go. And so that's what he did. He walked out there and, you know, he took his time. He got in the ring. He soaked in the moment because, again, this is the Undertaker showing up. That's getting less and less frequent. And so he's enjoying it while he's there. So I can completely appreciate he wants to soak up the moment. But at the same time, there is no overrun. None. Zero. Zip. So if you don't hit the line that they need you to hit for the promo package, you're kind of screwed.
And they got so close. Like, legit. So close. You can know them in the truck. They're going, we gotta go. We gotta go. And Vince is screaming, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. To Kevin. Like, hold it. Hold, he's gonna hit the line. He's gonna hit the line. And it's like, we gotta go. We gotta go. Because they're about to cut us off. They know it. They know the switch is going to be flipped. And he got Goldberg, you're next. Out.
Boom.
Boom. It was so hard. And like, you didn't even get, they didn't even, in the arena, they probably heard the gong on TV. You didn't get a chance to hear the gong.
You didn't get the gong. You didn't get the music to play out the show. You didn't get anything. You just legit got a hard cut into a commercial for Queen of the South. Like, legit, you got the hard. And when I say hard, I mean, like, you got the colored lines. Like, somebody ripped the plug out of the wall. Cut. Into over, basically they killed the feed and they switched it over. I mean, no fade to black, no smooth, no nothing, just Goldberg, you're next. Boom. I mean, it was just like, oh man, I hope there wasn't more to that promo or he wasn't planning on doing anything else because he's done.
No, that was the line, because that's the promo line you can grab. And Goldberg tomorrow can do the rust in peace in the retort. So you each gets to do the other's line. You get it. Like, but you can tell. And like, cause I've seen so many damn promos in my life. You can tell he was trying to let what he had previously said about opening up
the gates of hell.
Opening up the gates of hell and claiming his soul for eternity. He was trying to let that sit. And then he caught eye of the production guy. And he went, yeah. Boom.
Yeah. I mean, he was really, this was probably one of the best Undertaker promos we've gotten in a really long time. And I feel really bad for him because he was trying to work the promo. He's trying to really make it something because he understands that tonight and potentially tomorrow are the only chances that he's going to have to really put this out there and really get a chance to build this, because it's like legit, he's going to have to hop on a plane probably tomorrow and fly to Jeddah. So it's like he doesn't have the time to really, really, really work this. So it's like he's going to do what he can while he can. And unfortunately, I feel like if he just got into the ring just a little faster, it might have not been as bad. But, you know, it is what it is. You could tell he was just really trying to work the promo and really put the Taker spin on it. And then, yeah, there's a moment, and I almost want to go back and see if you can catch it, where he does see the production people.
See,
and they're like hopping up and down, screaming at him. You know, it's like, come on, we gotta go right now. You have to hit it right now.
Like, here, like, it wasn't the walk to the ring. It was him, his ego, the Undertaker chance. That cut the next 30 seconds out of the promo.
I feel like if he hadn't stopped for about 30 seconds on the ramp to
that too,
pictures,
but it was
that would have, you know, helped.
It was the promo, though. It was the Undertaker chance. It was, that's what got it.
But that's what he always does, is he always soaks it up. But it was the, honestly, he can get to the ring faster. I know he can get to the ring faster than that. I mean, it's like, dude, come on.
All right, hold on. I'm bringing up sound because I was searching the hashtag, and here's the promo at the end.
I will open the gates of hell and unleash an inhumane level of brutality for which you have never felt. When the Reaper beckons, you answer his call. I will claim your soul for all of eternity. Goldberg, you're next.
See, it's like, you can see he's like, he got the cue. He's like, he's speeding it up. Like, because that last line before the "you're next" thing, he would have waited out the cheers another 10 seconds. Because he could have gone. But he went for it. This show was a lot of fun. Enjoyable Monday Night Raw.
This was one of the better Monday Night Raws that we've had in a really, really long time. And yeah, I like this. But then again, it's like all my favorite people were on the show, so of course I liked it. But
the stars were out tonight.
The stars were out tonight, and it always makes a difference when you have the stars on Monday Night Raw, and maybe we could get some new stars, and then that way the stars will always be out.
And
we'll have to see.
And it was technically a go-home Raw.
It was. It was. For Super Showdown. Which we're talking about. On Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, we're going to preview Super Showdown this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. On the Rack. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio. Go back and listen to last week's episode where we had the most cheesiest episode in CB Radio history. CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. If the internet's there, they will probably review Super Showdown on Sunday. Wrestle Talk Radio, Sundays, 10 p.m. Eastern. We will be back next Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Support the shows by following and subscribing on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTRLive. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Another way to support the show, use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LNSWRD.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, which is youtube.com/MBG1211. We will see you Thursday night for the Rack. right back here for the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.